Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Aleph. We're continuing to go through all of the Sveikas that we said are actually Sveikas that we will bedafka go to Kula on these Sveikas. And those were all listed back in Mishnah Zion. And we've been going through them one by one. So now we're up to the fourth one. Fourth one was Safek Yadayim, which is Safek Tumas Yadayim. So remember, the concept of Tumas Yadayim is, of course, only a Derabbanan, because with your rice, there's no such thing. Either a person's tar or his tame. You can't have just hands being tame, even though, of course, we have Ramazim Yadav Lo Shataf. We have Ramazim to concepts of Yadayim. But the Rabbanan made this Gezerah that they made a Gezerah of Stam Yadayim, and they made a Gezerah that if we know that Yadayim touched something, that was depending on what it was that he touched, but he touched maybe Eichlin, that was a Rishon, obviously that Rishon can't affect an Adam, but it can make his hands a Sheni in the sense that they are Sheni Legabe Truma. Okay. So now, the Mishnah spoke out three different sveikas. A safek yadayim lihitame, litame. So he's not sure. He knows he washed his hands, and then he may have touched something that would have made his hands tame. So sveikas stam yadayim, and it's a straight out safek, litame. Or, we know that his yadayim are tame. He's not sure whether he touched a mashkin that he could have been metame with Yadayim Tmeas or not. So that would be the second type. And then the third type of suffix we could have is where he knew that his Yadayim were Tmeot. And the question is, did he do a correct Netilas Yadayim, or did he do a correct Tfilas Yadayim, maybe put them into a mikveh, and there was a suffix, whether there was a chatzitz or whatever. So in all of those cases, since the Iker Tuma itself is a Derabbanan entirely, so Derabbanan were Mekel, and they were Metaher, a Suffolk B'Yadayim, even where you started with Tame Yadayim. And now your Suffolk was whether the Tahira was correct. Even there, the Derabbanan were not Gezer Atumas Yadayim. So it's a fundamentally Tahar concept. That's what our Mishnah begins listing. Then we get into the rules that have to do with Kulais on a Derabbanan. So that is, of course, one of the most ubiquitous rules that we've been using all along was Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim. So Safek Tumah Brishus Harabim, as we've discussed in many Mishnayos, is by itself Tahar. Okay, so that was number five. Then we get to number six. And that was a Safek Tumah that is based on a Gezerah Derabbanan. So, for instance, it's not possible for an Adam to be mit-tamei by eating foods, unless, of course, you're talking about a oif, which was the beginning of this Pesach, but Nivla Seif Tar. But remember that because of that, we had back at the beginning that the Rabbanan were Gezer a Tumah for somebody who eats Eichlin Tmeim or who drinks Mashkim Tmeim was a complicated gezerah that we made got be ultimately protecting truma. So that was one case where it's possible that you are tamei because you ate food that was tamei. Food can't make a person tamei, but we made the gezerah. Or how about the crazy gezerah, which is that if you take a bath, and the din over there was you went into mayim shuvim. So, or for that matter, a case where you took a shower and you had Amroflu, Arosha, Varuba, Shlosha, Lugi, Mayim, Shuvi. So, in a case where you had been previously Tame, you went to a mikvah and you still did not become Tar because you were still a Tful Yom. So, it basically was before the sun had set. Now, because of that filthy mikvah, you went to take a shower. You become tamei because you took the shower. Or you become tamei because you went into the bath. Why was that? So you remember when people were saying that these filthy mikvahs, they're not the reason that people are tar. It's really the shower afterwards. Anyway, in the end, that would have prevented people who would have forgotten what a mikvah is and so on. So, okay, so we made that takana. That is wild, you know. So the Rabbanan in that case, it's, since it's this gezera that comes literally out of left field, so in all of these cases, the suffix is tahar. The Rabbanan were never machmir on any of these cases. But if you're talking about something that was the Rabbanan with gozer was a real tuma, so you're talking about a dover, which is an av hatuma midivrei sofer. So certain places were based on a question that was fundamentally a chumrah on a d'oraisa, let's say dam tvusa, where over there was blood that was dripping from a body that ultimately the person died on his hospital bed after he was wounded. And we have no idea now whether that blood that came out is actually v'achar misa, and it wasn't bottle in the original, all kinds of different questions, which we'll get to. But lamaisa, that is a din in an avatuma derabanan. There, sveko tamei, over there, these are tumas that are similar to d'oraisas, and therefore that was not included in a dover that was entirely midrabanan, where the whole issue is the suffix midrabanan. Then, we should start our Mishnah first. The next Mishnah, the Iris Perek Dalad, Mishnah Yud Beit. So remember, we're still in the process of going through in this Perek each case that was brought up, or almost each case that was brought up in Mishnah Zion. So now we're holding in Mishnah Yud Beis, and we're up to the seventh suffix that was listed in Mishnah Zion. So the next case was suffix chulin. What is that referring to? That's talking about we have a suffix tuma where the basis of the tuma was a precious, meaning that someone who was a chover wanted to be careful not to be mekabel tuma. So he was mekabel on himself that his chulin should be eaten al tairas truma, or we saw the machlokas about whether he can even be mekabel on himself chulin that should be eaten al tairas hakodesh. Maybe he's a kohen who had truma in his home and he wanted to make sure that everything in the house was eaten with that shem chumra, not to come to a situation where something may become tamei. So anything that is based on precious totally, so let's say the guy is going to be makpid that if his food had touched the clothing of an ama oretz, so that would be considered to be midras lachle truma or midras lachle kodesh, and he's pretending, so to speak, in his own mind that he is an lachle kodesh. So then those types of sfeikas about whether such a thing happened, since the entire thing is virtual, it's based on, it's true, it's actually mekabel tuma because of the fact that he is virtually treating like it. But the Chachamim were not machmer on any type of suffix that had to do with a basis of tyra that was entirely pre-shut, that if he's mesupik, let's say, whether he sat down on Big Day Amaretz or whatever, he's taught. Then we had the next thing, which was the eighth suffix listed in Mishnah Zion. And that was the suffix shrutzim, where over there, let's say a sheretz, you threw a sheretz and it landed. And we don't know, it landed between a bunch of, we talked about the case actually before, a bunch of kikarot. And it's not currently touching a kikar, but it may certainly have landed on one of the kikarot and then, you know, just bounced off. The din is kisha'at mitziyatan. If when we get to it, we see it's not actually on one of the kikarot, you don't have to worry about the fact that maybe it actually touched it, because as we said, the tuma goes according to the time at which it's found. Or, that's how some learn. Others learn that the question is not that maybe it touched after it landed. The question is, maybe it touched as it was going by, and the reason that it's tahar, is because of the halacha of the tuma sheretz that was nizrak, which was the Sheretz Tumat Safa, according to the Rosh, or Anudin in Zrika, according to the Rav. Okay, but anyway, that was number 8. Number 9. So number 9, we discussed when we're learning Negayim, that there's a din of Suffolk Negayim being Tahar. Now, what exactly does that mean? What is considered to be a Suffolk Negayim? So a Suffolk Negayim that we're referring to as Tahar is only talking about a Suffolk Negayim Bitchila, meaning Achalon Niskak Letuma. It means that we never had any type of Chalita on it by a Kohen. So let's say, for instance, a guy shows up with a Nega. Okay, so the din is that first we're going to put him into Hezker. We put him into Hezker because a week later we'll look at it to see if it was Pasa. If it spread, so then that would be a Simen of Tuma. Kohen comes back the next week and he realizes that he no longer has the picture on his cell phone of how big it was when he first saw it, and he doesn't remember whether this is a pasa or not pasa. Maybe it was exactly up to there. Now he doesn't remember. This type of suffix that occurs to people all the time in issues, you know, that are nogea, looking at if we still have our doctor, but I think he had to leave us. It's awfully late in California. But these are the type of things that happen all the time with dermatologists, you know. Is it clear that the lesion was spreading? You know, does it require biopsy? Nowadays, they actually utilize a cell phone, take a picture, and then they have it stored to look at the next time. So therefore, since it never was tummy, it only was closed up Lahesker, and we don't know whether there was a pisayon to make a tummy or not. So in that case, it's tahar. But once it was niskak letuma, once there was chalita, now we're suffolk whether is it considered to have gone back to what it was or not? So in that case, I'm not sure whether it went back to the way it was originally. Then once we had this cheskas tuma, we had paskin that it was chalut, it has to be cured before we're able to be metired. That was the 9th. The 10th, we said, was a question that was not nogea directly a suffolk tuma. It was nogea a suffolk nezirus, which, of course, is ultimately a Suffolk Tuma. So the Suffolk Nezirus, we said, was Tor. What that means is, not Tor, but that it's Mutter. And what that means is, remember we had all those funny cases where people said, oh man, I'll be a Nazir if that thing has a really 100 core of Tvua in it or not. And then it's burnt up or somebody makes salt with it before we have a chance to measure it, right? So in that case, say, the Mishnah here is paskening that ain echad mehem nazir. And that the halacha is that if there's no way for us to know whether the shvua of the naziris was chal, so in that case, we go lakula. This is, as I say, only indirectly nogea suffolk tuma because of the fact that the nazir then is also to be metani. So that was number 10. Then we also had another thing that was not nogea directly dinim of tuma v'taira. We were just listing all of those in yanim. Some of them, before I should say, that it was the same bezdin that was gezer that these things should be tahar. That was gezer on the shisha sfeikas that were serving as a truma. So we listed together with that. Okay, but the point is that if we're looking for a summary of the nature of sfeikas, this perek is where to find it. So we've got both our shishas fekas that are lechumra for sreifas truma, and we have our 12 sveikas, which are lekula, mostly in terms of the tuma, meaning that it's tahar. But as I say, we've got these cases that are not directly nogea. So we have the suffolk naziras. We don't know over there. It's really a din in nedarim and shvuas that is already a kula that is not directly nogea tuma. Or a suffolk becheres. So let's say where you get into the type of sfeikas, doesn't matter whether we're talking about a bechor odom or we're talking about a Bukhar Behema, or we're talking about a donkey, which would be a Behema Tmeya. It's always possible to have situations. I mean, the classic situation is where you have twins, and it's not clear which one was born first, the male or the female. So in all of these cases, you would have a suffix of the Bukhar. Now, we have to break that suffix up into Isser and into Mama. So, I mean, obviously, you cannot treat a Bukhar that requires pidyon, if it's an animal, you can't treat it, I shouldn't say pidyon, but requires a special dinim, you know, whether it has a mum or not, or I meant a behema tumea, which requires the pidyon of petach hamor. Those are chiyuvim. But now the question is, do you give the pidyon of the petach hamor, do you give it to a kohen? Or if it's a child, a human child, you don't know whether it's a bukhar or whether the female was born first and the twins. I mean, do you pay the pidyon to the kohen? No. So in that case, there would be a suffix would always be a lakuna. So that means whether it's Bukhar Adam, Bukhar Behema, or Bukhar Chamor, Behema Tmeya, since Hamotzi Michaver Olav Araya, therefore you don't have a chiyuv to actually pay it. You can set it aside, and that way you do not have to pay. Perek Dalid Mishnah Yud Gimel, which was the last of the 12 Sfeikas. And the last of the 12 Sfeikas had to do with Mechusrei Kapora, which we said was a suffix of Karbonas. What is that referring to? That's referring to Mechusrei Kapora. So let's say we could have a Yoledes, or we could have a Zava. And in those cases, in order for the person to be able to eat Kodesh, so it's after the whole process of Tahira, you still cannot eat Kodesh until you bring the Korban, you know, the Korban B'yamashmini and the whole deal. That is considered to be the Suffolk Karbonis that we're talking about over here. Is this person chayab to bring the Korban for her Tahira? So the din is, for instance, let's say that there was a woman who had 5 separate miscarriages. So she has a suffix of Chomesh Vlodais. In all of these cases, she wasn't sure whether nobody did an examination of the fetus. We don't know whether it was actually something that was Matame or maybe Shama Ruach Yolda. In any event, so she's Misupekas, whether she was a Yoledis or not. And therefore, she has to bring a carbon, or whether she wasn't a Yoledis, and she therefore doesn't have to bring a carbon. Maybe she had a suffix Zivais, maybe she wasn't sure when her Nidais had begun and whether it was 3 days of Zivais, or maybe it was only 2 days of Zivais, which was a Bechayev or a Korban. And this happened 5 times, you know, so then she wouldn't have to bring any Korbanas. So then the din is like this, that since what we're talking about here is a Chatas Ha'of and a Ola, so the Ola of the Behema obviously could be always be brought with a Tanai, you know, so fine, it should be a gift. A Chatas Ha'of is a very unique korban because none of it is brought on the Mizbeach. And therefore, you don't have a problem of bringing something on the Mizbeach that would be Aser. So because of that, you're allowed to bring a Chatas Ha'of. Obviously, it's not Mechalet because we don't know if it's kosher or not. And only the dam is what is sprinkled. And then, okay, fine, so you sprinkle the dam, but it itself is not edible, but you're allowed to bring it. So because of that, even though she may have 5 different sfeikas, this is similar to the previous suffix that we had, which is the suffix about the Bukhar. She obviously, if she wants to eat Kodesh, she has to bring one of these, but she doesn't have to bring 5. I mean, the same way, if a person maybe needed to go to the mikveh for 5 different reasons, he can go once, right? And he's tar. Same thing is true on a Mechusar Kippurim. You bring one of those karbonas, it's betayer all of the sfeikas. Ah, you'll say, but there was a mitzvah to bring the mitzvah to bring the rest. I'm a supik. So I don't know whether I'm a chuyav or not. So in that case, I don't have to bring it. So in this case, that one of them is a chayva. At that point, she's not tahira. But in hashar alel chova, the rest of it is really not important. And therefore, hadron alach erek azorek uli nederam.